can go, and that's on Wednesday nights and on Saturdays at our location called Harvest, which is our Family Success Center, which is on 84 Park Avenue. And our Family Success Center, which is housed in the same location, works to reduce child abuse and really help connect those that are in need through all different services and connections, as well as we have someone who is bilingual at that facility to help families in great need. Additionally, we have a prevention education division. And we also do early intervention, and we do provide high level of treatment.
You have a lot going on. At what is your staff level? I know you said you've expanded over the last couple
years.
Yes,
we have
years.
Approximately 22 staff members now, and they all cover many different areas and work all different type of hours depending on what their initiative and strategies are.
Okay, I think we're going to jump right into the Federal Drug-Free Communities Grant Program, which focuses on reducing underage drinking and drug misuse through the Safe Communities Coalition. Tell me more about the Safe Communities
Coalition.
Yeah, so
the Safe Communities, the funding we've had, actually, we're very fortunate. We're in our 10th year of funding from SAMHSA, which funding we received from the Office of National Drug Control Policy. And under that initiative is to reduce 30-day use, work on perception of harm, peer perception of harm, and parental perception of harm. And that's, I know you and I were speaking about before the show on how do you measure prevention. Under the Safe Communities Coalition, that's what we measure. Because really at the end of the day, about how many meetings or how many prevention initiatives and strategies you put in place, if you're not affecting change, then we're not working in the right areas. So our coalition has tremendous capacity and collaboration. Some of our key partners have been our schools, the Chamber of Commerce, the Prosecutor's Office, also the Sheriff's Department, and places of worship. Working with all these different sectors of our community, we're able to make community-wide change. We've been very fortunate to lower the numbers of 30-day use, and we've been able to measure that and be recognized on a national level for our work.
Okay. Now, what do you mean by lowering the numbers of 30-day use? What does that mean?
So we, unfortunately, as teens progress through each grade level, their usage rate has a tendency to increase. Mm-hmm. So what we're measuring is teenagers, for example, 30-day uses, have they drank in the last 30 days? And so when you look at that percentages, are we decreasing the amount of teenagers who are drinking alcohol?
I'm wondering how you're measuring that. Are they getting surveys every month?
Not every month. So those surveys, we actually use a statistically sound third-party company called Pride Surveys, which has been approved as a as far as the way that data is collected and the way that questions are asked in a consistent manner. Right. They assist us. We actually contract with them to be able to survey teens every 2 years. The survey is conducted, and so we analyze that data every 2 years.
Okay. Now you mentioned drinking. Does it measure anything else? Is there any drug use involved?
Absolutely. It measures. It also measures perception of harm. Okay. It looks at different risk and protective factors. It looks at all substances, including tobacco, heroin, opiates, methamphetamines, steroids, marijuana.
It's very comprehensive.
It's a very comprehensive survey.
Right. What do you mean by perception of harm?
So we ask teens in their own perception, do they look at that substance as something that might be harmful to them? So they'll ask that question, by the way, in about four or five, six, lots of different ways to be able to get some consistency on how the teen's responding. We also look to see what they think their peers believe of that substance, because we know that teens are very much influenced by their peers, as well as we know a very strong protective factor is how their parents view their behavior. So that is why we know as perception of harm is increasing, the likelihood of using that substance will decrease, and vice versa.
That's really, really interesting. So I guess you found that the perception of harm has been going down.
It has been going down, except for two areas in particular. The areas mm-hmm. where perception of harm has been dropping, which means they're no longer seeing that substance as harmful, is marijuana,
okay.
as well as electronic cigarettes.
Right, right, which kind of segues right into, obviously, a very hot topic today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk more about vaping and e-cigarettes. I asked you earlier, why is it suddenly so seem to be so much worse when it's really been going on for how many years? At least five, six?
Well, it's been, e-cigarettes have been out for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But what's changed significantly is the what's called ENDS. ENDS is electronic nicotine delivery systems.
Oh.
And that has changed significantly from the technology, whereas before they used to be very large, bulky. Now they're very sleek, look like USB drives, and can be very much through social media, as well as many different social media stars, were paid significant amount of money, in particular by a company called Juul.
Yeah.
That's J-U-U-L.
Right.
And Juul's were really that social media, the damage was done significantly by really showing that as not harmful, as a way to enjoy, as it was very cool and a fun thing to do, which is all, if you look at any of the social marketing that was done around it, it was quite significant. So now we're left in a situation where we had many teens, of all that work we've done, where we really were decreasing the cigarette, the tobacco use. Mm-hmm. If you ask most teens today that vape or use an electronic cigarette, if they smoke, they'll tell you no. So they are not associating e-cigarettes even with some of the Juuls or the other vape devices. They don't make that correlation.
Mm-hmm. Is vaping more harmful than cigarette smoking?
Well, you know, Trace, that's a very common question. If you would have asked me that a few months ago, I could have just absolutely said yes, that vaping is less harmful. And the few months ago, the reason I would have said that absolutely is because cigarettes have a tremendous amount of carcinogens in it,
right.
Whereas these vape devices, in particular these electronic cigarettes, do not have as many carcinogens in it.
Right.
However, you're still looking at danger. Right. Somebody explained it to me as going down a very fast road at a high level of speed, a curvy road at 100 miles an hour. Think of that as a regular cigarette.
Okay.
You're using an electronic cigarette. You're going down the same dangerous curvy road at 60 miles an hour. It's
okay.
Still dangerous.
Got it.
But it has been changing significantly. Anybody seeing the news will now say that it is absolutely very risky, incredibly dangerous with all the explosion, really, of these lung diseases, these lung illnesses that have come out where it's really been very difficult to pinpoint exactly consistently why and how. There are some scientific evidence on some of it, but not consistently all of these illnesses. So now the recommendation is not to use them at all.
Right. So originally, all these flavored items, were they not available? Does it seem like the rise
right, so that's kind of evolved.
Coincided with that?
Right. That sort of evolved as the electronic nicotine delivery system started to become sleek, newer, and a way to attract a lot more users were watermelon flavors, flavors that were raspberry, cherry, all these really fun, innocent-sounding names that really, and I'm going to call them kids because they really did not know. It's very much targeted to the younger generation, and most of these teens had no idea that these Juuls, 100% of these pods that come with them, all contain nicotine.
Uh-huh.
That was not disclosed, not educated, mm-hmm. not by any shape or form, basically telling them that they're getting hooked on one of the most strongest addictions there are, which is nicotine.
Wasn't this vaping originally not intended to include teens, or am I wrong on that?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to, right?
Okay.
So it really was originally intended to, the way that the industry stated was these electronic nicotine delivery systems was a way to help someone step off of using cigarettes to eventually quit. There has not been any scientific evidence that that has actually happened, but it was a way to be able to deliver nicotine in a way that did not have all those dangerous carcinogens as a regular cigarette. But what we've in turn happened is now we have an entire new generation of nicotine users, and a generation that never have we ever seen an explosion of users than we do today.
Right. So in other words, if you were measuring the number of kids in the past who smoked versus the number of kids now who are vaping, you're saying there's
it's a significant uptake. So in fact, the surveys I was telling you now have vaping and e-cigarettes as now as a measurement tool. We know in our community here, a lot of the pediatricians, if you ask a teen if they smoke, they're going to say no. If you ask them if they vape, they might say no. But if you ask them if they use a Juul, they might say yes. So screening tools now have been expanded to use all the different terms that a teen might associate with these products. Because when we're saying vaping, that could be a few different things depending on who you're talking to. You might be vaping marijuana. Mm-hmm. You can vape alcohol. You can vape a lot of different types of substances that most people don't necessarily attribute to a vape device. So when we're talking about vaping, and you're talking especially to a younger person, you almost need to be very specific on what you're asking.
Right. Now, how young are you seeing the vaping use?
Ages 10, 11.
Really?
That young.
Uh-huh. I assume that vaping is prohibited in schools.
It absolutely is prohibited. And one of the things our coalition is working on is really to help clarify something New Jersey had, and we did a lot of work in our community here years ago, was the around the Open Air Act, where you cannot utilize any type of cigarette products or tobacco products that emit any type of secondhand or third-hand emissions that might harm someone. And a lot of people thought, well, vaping is not a problem. So when we're talking about bars or the community, you are not supposed to be able to use any of these vaping devices. Schools have a very strict policy. Our law schools have done an excellent job with tightening their policies to make sure all students know that you can't are not allowed to use any of these vaping devices. I will say in the state of New Jersey, you must be over the age of 21 to purchase any of these devices.
Mm-hmm.
But know that teens can check off a box and get anything on the internet.
True.
We also know that older kids provide that to younger kids. So even with tightening our sale of tobacco products, it's still quite difficult.
They can get it.
They can get it. But also, kids can hide these very easily. They can stick them right in their sleeve. They can plug them into their computer and charge. They're so different looking and so many different devices that it's very hard to even educate our community because they keep constantly changing and keep getting smaller.
That's what, when you said the USB, I didn't know whether you were talking about spreading the information. You're saying they use these devices that resemble you, or
they resemble like a flash drive.
Okay,
no,
and
so
they can actually use that to vape.
To vape. No? And they're not a regular USB drive. They resemble one.
Resemble.
So in order to charge them electronically, they can plug right into their computer. So they could be charging them right in a classroom. They can vape a lot of they sell a lot of different clothing now that hide vape products and vape devices. And it's smoke alarms do not pick up vaporizing.
Uh-huh.
It does not indicate.
It
does not.
So is there such a thing as secondhand and thirdhand smoke then from vaping?
Again, another excellent question. The research is just not out there.
Okay.
And that has been some of the challenge all along, is that we do not have the years and years of research as we had with tobacco products. But with the nicotine, we absolutely know it affects the developing brain. We absolutely know it's a strong addictive substance that affects our teens in their development years. So with that being said, as far as second and third hand, we don't have that information. But I think that's ever-changing, even as we speak today.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. This is Tracy Ivey of Mental Health Matters, and we're back with Leslie Gable, the co-chief executive officer at Prevention Resources in Hunterdon County. We were talking about vaping, and I wanted you to, Leslie, continue on what is traditionally delivered in a vaping device.
So traditionally in a vape device, or they call these e-juices, is almost 90% of all these devices have nicotine in it. But as this education really came out, teens are now coming back going, especially to their parents, we're using e-juices that do not have nicotine, so it should still be okay, which it really isn't. There's a lot of metals that are in these devices that include lead and nickel that can build up in someone's body, because as you're heating up the coil in these vape devices, small particles of metal actually come out, and that's what they're inhaling in their lung. Formaldehyde is in there. So these are things that are going in through these vape devices. And I really like how Dr. Brian King from the CDC said, like, would you spray an aerosol in the back of your mouth? Would you open up and spray hairspray or off bug spray, right, into your mouth? That sounds crazy, right? There's all those chemicals, but that is kind of what you're doing, right? That is an aerosol that you're putting inside your body, and the only thing that was meant to go in your lungs is air. That is the only thing that our body was designed to have in our lungs. Yet people think that their substances that they're putting in there can't be harmful at all. And that moves me into the next thing, that as teens are progressing and their addiction's getting stronger, if you consider what the nicotine levels are in these pods, right, these pods that are come. So let's take Juul, because that's the one most popular on the market with teenagers. 4 pods come in a pack. Okay. Each pod equals 20 cigarettes. And typically an addiction for nicotine and being addicted to cigarettes, you need about 100 cigarettes, being able to utilize that. But if you think about these nicotine delivery systems and these Juuls, you get about 80 cigarettes. That's how much it quantifies for. But the difference, and this was explained recently at one of our coalition meetings, and I thought that this was a very interesting point that I've never heard anyone point out before. is that when you are using a traditional cigarette, you're smoking in the nicotine and you're holding the cigarette, and the cigarette is burning down. But with these vaping devices, these e-cigarettes, they're inhaling and taking in all that nicotine. There's no, for better term, wasting any part of that device. So that nicotine is at a higher level than probably a regular cigarette, even though they
equate. Higher concentration,
higher
maybe.
Concentration. So yeah. The addiction rate wow. grows much quicker and faster. Mm-hmm. Nicotine also leaves the body at a different rate than other substances quicker. So that addiction of having and needing that next pod mm-hmm. or that next mm-hmm. you know, vape, is great, is mm-hmm. is very significant. So what happens is it's very difficult when these teens get addicted on how to stop. And I will also mention that teens are 3 times more likely after using these vaping devices and e-cigarettes to move on to using regular cigarettes.
Oh. You know? So instead of, it's doing the exact opposite of what it was originally intended to do.
So what is a parent or a teen to do, right? So they're unfortunately have made some decisions or on this path and they need to stop. So there's some things that you can do to stop. There's sensation specialist actually works for our office. Her name is Jerry Colavecchio. So you can contact our office for treatment assistant, and that number is 908-782-3909 and ask for Jerry. The other thing is what I think has been actually fascinating about this generation that has really been, stuck on these vaping devices is that the research, the preliminary research is showing that teens would probably do very well interacting with a web-based ways to help quit. So we are partnering with the New Jersey Prevention Network, our agency, and we have a youth prevention specialist. Her name is Amanda Kovacs, and we're working on a web-based bilingual prevention program that was developed by an MD at the Anderson Cancer Center, and it's called Aspire, and it's a smoking prevention interactive experience, and we're working at no cost with our schools that have interactive videos, an avatar is available at no cost, and an effort to help prevent reduce the electronic nicotine devices as well as other tobacco products. And we're strongly trying to work with our schools that they can provide this service. There's another web-based sensation program called Become a Smoke-Free Teen. And, again, we have lots of other I know that there's a quick center at the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital up in Somerset that offers counseling to teens for smoking sensations. So there's lots of different systems, but you can contact our office, and we're happy to advise on the ones that we've been provided, and we'll be loading them up to our website. The website also is a great resource. It's called What's in Your Vape, and that's njprevent.com/What's in Your Vape. And we've centralized all the information primarily based from the CDC and the FDA on vaping and electronic cigarettes. So all this information is in there. We've partnered with the Chamber of Commerce, Hunterdon Medical Center, One Voice, which is a faith-based coalition, all the high schools, as well as the Chamber of Commerce, the prosecutor's office, as a way to centralize and make sure that all the information and resources that are coming out, that parents can go to a centralized place to get consistent and updated information.
So the parents would also go to njprevent.com, or what would be a centralized place?
It's What's in Your Vape, and in okay. there is different sections that they can click on that is for different parts of our community.
Our parents, I would think, very alarmed about this.
I think that all the media is significantly assisting us. I think a lot of parents are, but one thing that I know in speaking with the medical community as they've been screening for these devices, that not a lot of folks are, especially younger people, forthcoming that they have them. And in some cases, parents might not even know that that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I was recently at a concert, mm-hmm. and it was a country concert, and I mentioned that it wasn't any type of heavy metal. But the amount of people that were vaping was so significant that you almost wondered, did any of these younger folks even see what's on the news? Because they certainly didn't stop, hasn't affected them. So I know that we needed a lot of social media exposure for folks to really understand the dangers of these vape devices.
Right. And, you know, as you mentioned, if a parent thought their child was smoking, they could probably smell the nicotine on the clothes and this and that. They may not see any telltale signs. There's no scent, I assume, that stays with somebody.
Right. In fact, it might actually smell the opposite, like fruity.
Yeah.
And like watermelon or bubble gum, or they would have another fruitier kind of scent, because there are scents. You could be walking behind somebody and smell these very, you know, more pleasant smells than, mm-hmm. say, a cigarette. The other thing what parents will start to notice is these kids with their nicotine growing is the really becoming irritable. Uh-huh. And they'll start to see signs of nicotine withdrawal when these kids aren't able to get another hit off of these devices.
And how often, if you're saying 20...
one pot equals a pack of cigarettes.
Pack of cigarettes, right. So kids who are they doing four pods a day, or what's addictive rate?
I think typically a standard addiction rate develops after using 100 mm-hmm. cigarettes. So someone would have to be using that. The more that they're using on a regular basis, the greater their nicotine addiction is going to grow at a faster rate.
Mm-hmm.
And just like every individual, that rate will change mm-hmm. by person.
Let's talk about the 21 age mm-hmm. prohibition. Obviously, what people do in the past is they get the older person to go in and buy it for them. Can kids buy pods under 21?
No.
Or they can't do anything connected with vaping?
You can just go across the border into Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Where that age is 18.
Oh, okay.
So New Jersey did the right thing in raising the age of purchase to help deter younger users. We
right.
know that the younger someone starts, the more of a lifetime addiction that they're going to have. So New Jersey really did a great thing, one of the first states on raising the tobacco purchasing rate of 21. But there's no, for example, like alcohol, you have to be 21. And if you're a minor caught with alcohol, you're breaking a law. In New Jersey, and really across the United States, there's no law that you can be in possession of it and be underage, and that's not breaking a law.
And you could even be vaping if you're under 21 and there's no law?
You could be, but depending on where you're at and using it, you could be breaking a law if
it's a local community statute or what?
Or if you're in an area that has banned using cigarettes and tobacco products.
And I wonder what that charge would be. Instead of underage drinking, it's underage vaping.
It's not underage vaping. It's anyone using that type of product in that environment
uh-huh.
where it's deemed that you're breaking the law using it there.
Right.
And that could be any age.
But that could be a misdemeanor, I'm thinking.
And it all depends on uh-huh. the environment, who it is. And
right, right.
It could be a fine.
All right. Well, let's move on to another area that is also extremely important, is the opioid and fentanyl use. Tell us more about what's going on in that.
So, unfortunately, New Jersey has experienced in another year of the rise of overdose deaths, where there's been many states that have seen the decline, and unfortunately, in New Jersey, we have not. And that's primarily due to an illegal source of fentanyl. And fentanyl is 50 times to 100 times stronger than morphine. And the fentanyl that I'm describing is a strong opiate. That is not the type of fentanyl I'm talking about with as far as from a pharmacy. The fentanyl that I'm describing is being purchased illegally, typically from China over the black web. And all you'll need is a pinch of this. It could cause an overdose. And why would someone be using this? In most cases, the end user has no idea that they're using it. And what the drug dealers are doing is they're cutting their current, whether it's heroin or a fake prescription drug, And the reason that they would do that is because they can sell it at a higher level, right?
Yeah.
To make more money. And it's to make their substance that they have, like heroin or even cocaine now or any other substance, to go further for a better high, and then make more money.
Yeah, and greater addiction.
Both.
Yeah.
Right. So the other thing is that unfortunately, first week in August of this year, 11 people were dying a day in New Jersey. And that's why you've seen expansive use and push of a drug called Narcan or Naloxone, which can reverse an overdose, but only an opiate overdose. And a lot of people don't realize that.
It doesn't have any effect on fentanyl.
Well, fentanyl, it does, because it's an opiate, but sometimes you'll need 2 and 3 hits of Narcan because the fentanyl is so potent. And I have to really emphasize this point. This reversal drug is only good if you get to the person in time.
Right.
And sometimes a person can be hit with Narcan, and you might think that that person's okay, and they can go back and overdose again because that fentanyl is so powerful, those receptors go right back onto the brain, and they overdose again. So it's strongly advised that you always go to the hospital.
Okay.
But sometimes people don't want to do that.
And or you don't have time.
Or people are quite angry because you've interrupted their high.
Right. Also, isn't people who have fentanyl in their body, isn't that also a danger to EMT and policemen if they get too close to it or something?
Not if it's been ingested, but there's been a significant amount of training for our law enforcement and emergency responders about how to handle overdose cases with special gloves. If they're searching a car, they might, depending on what it is, they have different ways that they search now because there was and has been affecting our first responders. But absolutely, it is very potent. If you have a cut, any type of absorption into your body, someone can unintentionally overdose.
Now, how about Narcan distribution? Is that increasing? Are parents getting Narcan through your program, or what's?
We actually provide in partnership with Rutgers. We do free Narcan training, and Narcan trainings. Anyone that attends gets a free Narcan kit. And if that person's used the kit, they can go back to Rutgers and receive a replacement kit. These kits can also, they are over-the-counter, so anyone can get these kits. They're not a prescription-based type of
medicine. You can go anywhere. Walmart.
They're very expensive. You would have to get them from your pharmacist, and a lot of times they're in high demand. The governor earlier this year did a one-day blitz across the state to try to get out as many as we can. And the reason we're doing this is because so many people are dying. So many people are losing their lives to an overdose death.
And I don't suppose insurance companies are paying for Narcan distribution.
No, they are not.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I will strongly recommend that anyone that has a loved one in the throes of addiction absolutely have a Narcan kit. It could save their lives.
Right. Now, you're also saying, okay, first you said they could go back to Rutgers to get it, but then you said it's also available in stores.
Right. That's if someone has participated in one of the trainings that we do in partnership with Rutgers and they've utilized their kit or their kit has been expired, they can go back after they've been properly trained and get another free Narcan kit.
Right. So basically, in the kit, there is one can.
Comes with two.
Two. Okay.
It's a nose injection. So it looks like a strong.
It's like. It's a very. A nebulizer. Spray, like for asthma?
It looks like a. There's quite a few different types, but the type that we're giving out is a strong pump.
Okay. Easy to administer.
Very easy. Yep.
Right. Okay. Now, when you said it's very expensive, you buy it over the counter. What would you?
I haven't checked lately, but in the past, kits were about $150.
That is very expensive.
And our county, through our prosecutor's office, really works as well as with the medical center. Ensure our law enforcement has access to these kits.
So there are a lot of problems here. Do you feel like you're ahead of the problem, behind the problem, chasing the problem, making progress? What would you say?
That's an interesting question. Over 6 years ago, we created a documentary called Pills to Heroin. Nobody that I've come across that it's a heroin user. And actually, let me take a step back. When we talk about opiates, what is an opiate? An opiate is a type of drug class when we're talking about Percocets, Vicodin, Oxycodone, Oxycontin, heroin, morphine, fentanyl. These are all types of opioids. And really what happens is that someone's addiction has grown strong with misusing a prescription painkiller. Right. And they move on to heroin because they no longer can get access to the pills, or it becomes too expensive to buy those pills on the street, so they move to heroin, which is about $3 to $5 a bag. And the potency of heroin in New Jersey can be snorted, so sometimes a person will start off that way before they move to injection.
Right.
And so that I will tell you, over 6 years ago, we created a documentary called Pills to Heroin. Mm-hmm. And it was a documentary we created to educate people the dangers of misusing a prescription drug. And at the time, it was questioned, really, in our area, like, why would you spend so much money? Is it that big of a problem? And unfortunately, I wish we were wrong at the time. But as much as the prevention and education we have put out, we know that we've absolutely helped some. But what's happened is the potency of these drugs have gotten stronger, and the availability was so significant in home medicine cabinets that, and now with this fentanyl, that making the potency and addiction stronger and the death rate higher, it has become an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But New Jersey, as well as our community, have done some of the right things, which we've limited the amount of prescription pain pills that someone can be prescribed.
Right.
A lot of prescribers have now not prescribing opioids the way that they were in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, opioids were originally designed for end-of-life pain management.
Right.
And next thing you know, they became something that they could be utilized for a sore tooth.
Right.
So And now that's been our goal as one of the prevention is to clean out medicine cabinets, home medicine cabinets, as well as to lock up your medicines. Because 70% of teens start off misusing this substance in home medicine cabinets, and that's how they get access to the drug.
Yes, which brings us to your October 26th event, which will be here before we know it. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we have permanent prescription drop-off boxes that are located throughout the county that anybody that has an opioid or any substance, especially any types of anti-anxiety medications that are typically also misused, is to clean out home medicine cabinets, is to get them out if you're no longer using them, they've been expired, is to drop them off in one of our permanent prescription drop-off boxes. And we have over 10 different locations within the county. You can visit our Safe Coalition website to locate them, which is www.safecoalition.org.
Okay.
And you'll be able to locate under our prescription drug prevention the different boxes.
Okay.
We were actually one of the first to have a prescription drop-off box in the entire state of New Jersey, and that was in partnership with the prosecutor's office and the sheriff's office, with it being housed over at the new courthouse here in Flemington. And our prosecutor's office really helped to ensure we got it. And our sheriff's office has been great with also working with different senior programs to help go meet seniors where they're at if they can't get out to dispose of these. So I wanted to really thank the sheriff's department for all the work that they do and all the law enforcement departments that have put these boxes in place, because they are in places, for example, like Raritan Police Department has one, Clinton, Frenchtown, Lambertville. We have them all throughout the up in Tewksbury as well. And these boxes, again, are available all throughout the year. But twice a year, we hold a national DEA take-back event.
Okay.
And someone has said to me, too, why would you do a national take-back day if you have these boxes? But it's a way nationally and in partnership with the Drug Enforcement Agency across the nation to remind people how important it is to get rid of these medications in a safe, responsible way. So twice a year, typically in October and April, we do these big national pushes to also open it up on Saturdays, which hopefully will be days when people can have better access to these drop-off boxes, and as well as those places that don't typically have a permanent box can also house a temporary box, and we clean them out. And that's happening this October, which is October 26th. From 10 to 2 is National DEA Take Back.
Well, what is the difference between just someone dropping it off anytime? It's just that you're highlighting it and you're trying to get it, bring attention to one day. But basically, there's nothing extra that's being added.
No, the only thing being added extra across New Jersey and in different places is some police departments might not have a permanent drop-off box, but they can have a temporary one for that day.
I understand.
There's lots of regulations.
Right.
And for the safety of why you need a box. And under DEA Take Back, law enforcement places can sign up for a temporary box that day.
And this is a national initiative, so
national
this should
initiative.
Be
Absolutely.
Going on everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if people are afraid that somehow something would be traced back to them. None of these drugs are illegal anyway, but...
Well, you know, again, good question, but what you can do is when you get there, right before you drop them off, is to take a black marker and just cross off your name.
Right, and if, obviously there's... good ways to dispose of all this. I don't know whether you just take all these pills
and
dump them somewhere. What do you do with them?
That's exactly. They actually get incinerated.
I see.
They get incinerated.
Wow.
So they don't get a part of our water system. And
got it.
To protect our environment, flushing them down the toilet is not good. Throwing them in a garbage can where you can still have access, especially to our pets, is quite dangerous. People think, oh, I'll just throw them in a trash can, and that can be quite dangerous, especially to small children.
Right.
Accidental of interaction with those medications. I also would like to mention that with our take back events, that it is important for folks to know they cannot go around their own neighborhood and collect their neighbor's drugs and then go.
Oh.
It is illegal to transport anyone else's prescriptions besides your own.
I see.
So please know, unless you have some sort of legal authority over an individual, but again, if it's your child and you're the parent, not a problem, but you can't just go and say, I'm going to help a friend out and dispose of their drugs for them.
Oh, that's amazing. I guess a lot of people think, well, I'll just pick it up for the whole neighborhood and save everybody.
Right, and the reason why.
Not a good idea.
Because, again, you come across someone, how do we know that those drugs, what
how
the
do
intention
we know?
Of how you're
where
using
they're
those.
Going.
Oh,
yeah.
Where they're going, right.
Right. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. This is Tracy Ivey. My guest is Leslie Gable, the co-chief executive officer at Prevention Resources. Leslie, during the break, we said that we want to expand a little bit more on marijuana use. What can you tell us in the last few minutes of the program here?
Well, as we started off our show talking about the perception of harm, unfortunately, since the time in our state when medical marijuana was approved, we've seen continuously growing as other states have legalized recreational use. We've seen that perception of harm for our teens has dropped significantly. So what does that translate? As teens are no longer seeing it harmful, we've seen the illegal use increase. And we've seen more kids in our diversion program, more kids that have gotten in trouble with the law. A lot of kids have gotten ill from some of these devices that they're vaping out of because the THC level is extraordinarily high levels. And these teens are getting very ill. So the usage rates are going up. And so when teens say, you know, when folks say to me, oh, it's harmless, legalize it, control it, there really is no such thing as trying to control an illicit or illegal substance. And when folks are saying marijuana is not harmful, it is not the marijuana that I think in their minds that of people smoking a joint from years ago, this THC level in these liquids and edibles are so significantly at a level that has never been seen before. Buying preloaded vape pens, kids are able to go on through social media and be able to get them from these different states, as well as folks that are going to school in these areas that are over 21, coming back, selling it illegally. So the access, even in an environment that's not legal, kids are still getting access to them. And so if we're trying to talk about our teens and protecting our teens, when you legalize a substance, you're also sending a message that it's not harmful. And so trying to say if you're over 21, it's not, you know, it's okay. It really just changes the conversation and the perception. And you might find people that would normally not use this substance have access to it. Additionally, we know scientifically, when people ask me about marijuana, and we could, again, talk about this substance for hours, is that I go back to the science. The science and the research from NIDA, which is the National Institute on Drug Abuse, the scientists there absolutely can confirm that marijuana decreases IQ points of the developing brain of a youth. And we know that those IQ points won't ever come back. And what do we mean when we say IQ points? Their intellect level and their memory and retention levels will never be the same as it was prior to that drug.
And you can't say that about tobacco. You can't say that about alcohol.
Well, I can tell you about marijuana, and I can also say though that nicotine does also affect the developing brain and body of an adolescent. So, marijuana, is it harmful? Yes, it is harmful to youth and the adolescent, and that is where our concerns mostly grow. Because if you look at some of those states that have legalized it, and all the edibles, these edibles are all in fun flavor, just no different. Mm-hmm. Remember us talking about the Juuls and how fun flavors and the packaging was very geared and marketed to youth. You know, I don't know many adults that are eating Pop-Tarts. They're Pot-Tarts. Mm-hmm. And there are the Kit Kats that they're all made around marijuana. And so they're all candies and gummy bears and gummy rings. They're all
and they have vitamins for kids that are gummy bears. So I could see
it's quite so the marketing and the control of these other states have not been able to control this substance, as well as taxing and making money. There's still a very where does this tax money really go? And again, you can tell that I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan because, for people from a medicinal standpoint, people who need medical help, then take this drug and treat it like any other medical, and put the testing behind it. Doctors don't have any guidelines on how do they know what potency of a plant that medicine is coming from. But I've never seen any type of medicine be voted in rather than to go through the FDA just like any other medication. Mm-hmm. And, so if this is about helping people, then put this in the same area as medications as any other, and then make sure the research is behind it that can truly help people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we're helping people by putting it in a shop and people making money off of it. That's not how we help people.
Now, these candies and Pop-Tarts and things, how potent can they be? Or is it just the fact that somebody's just going to keep eating more and more and more?
Well, I've never come across, when they'll have dosage rates on these packages, but I've never come across someone that could eat like an eighth of a cookie. And the difference between an edible and inhaling or smoking is that inhaling and smoking affects the body almost immediately. And when you eat these, it's going through a different delivery system of absorption in the body. So it might take 30 to 40 minutes before you feel the effect. And so most people don't wait that time frame, and they end up eating so much that they get very ill.
Yeah. Wow. So to move into a more positive frame here, you have something coming up that parents can attend?
Absolutely. Parents, any professional, any person that is, you know, would like any type of prevention education. Every year we hold the Professional Fall Conference. But we say professional because we bring in professional speakers from all over the United States as well as locally. And it really is intended for, you know, any young adult or person that would like to attend. It is on October 25th from 8 to 3 at Raritan Valley Community College. Anyone would like information, again, they can go to either one of our websites, which is njprevent.com or the safecommunitiescoalition.org. Both of those are two entities here, from our agency, Between Prevention Resources and our coalition, are sponsoring this prevention conference. And the folks that we have actually somebody from SAM, which is Smart Approaches to Marijuana, coming out to speak about marijuana and vaping. He actually lives in Colorado, so he'll be coming out. He's been on CNN quite often speaking about smart approaches to marijuana. So he'll be speaking and presenting. We also have someone speaking on screening, brief intervention, referral, and treatment, a screening tool that will be very helpful. We have someone from the Drug Monitoring Initiative here in New Jersey giving us some really interesting data and information on the drug trafficking in this region and also drug use across the state, as well as we have somebody speaking on all the different prevention initiatives that we have as well. Oh, and an ER doctor. I can't forget the ER doctor is going to be talking about what we're seeing through emergency departments through substance use.
So is this basically for anyone in New Jersey? Are there other ones like this in other counties or what?
Yes, there's other different prevention initiatives that happen as far as trainings go all across our state. We do this one to cover Somerset and Hunterdon. And there is a small fee to attend. There's continuing education credits. The fee is $65. However, anyone that has any type of obstacle with a fee, we do have scholarships. They can contact either Amanda or Jerry at our office at 908-782-3909. And if you forget about who to contact, you just ask anyone on the phone. They can direct you to the right person.
Well, you mentioned these two websites, njparent.com and safecommunitiescoalition.com. What about Prevention Resources? What is your website?
So Prevention Resources is njprevent.com. We actually shortened it because typing out 100 in Prevention Resources got really long. We actually changed our website to njprevent.com, and our coalition is safecoalition.org.
SafeCommunitiesCoalition.org.
No, just SafeCoalition.org. And I will tell you, you can find us on Facebook by searching. We have lots of information that gets posted between Prevention Resources and the Safe Coalition Facebook page.
And obviously, because you're trying to deal with a young audience, you must have to spend a lot of time promoting yourselves on social media. That must be important.
Well, you know what, Tracy? Thank you for bringing that up. We have a youth coalition called HCYC, which is Hunterdon County Youth Coalition, that Amanda from our office runs, and we engage our young community to come up with policies and communications and messaging that are geared from a peer-to-peer standpoint. We have an Instagram page where we have our teens do the communication, as well as coming up and looking at ways that we can look at policies. We just had two teens present to our adult coalition on policies around vaping in schools. So they come up with some of the things that they think through their experiences. And I will tell you, the power of youth and the way that they see and communicate is so much so important. And so anyone wanting to join our youth coalition is welcomed. And so, again, they could contact our office.
Let's give that website. It's HCYC.
HCYC is the Instagram page.
The Instagram.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a Facebook?
It is. It's HCYC in the Facebook page.
Okay.
And again, you could also contact our office at 908-782-3909.
Right. Okay. Is there a phone number for that? Or
it's the same
phone
it's the
number.
Same general number.
Would they be able to reach Amanda there?
Yes. Yeah.
Is she a teenager or how old is Amanda?
She's a young adult that works. Yeah, we have young adults working with young adults. Right. I kept trying to think I was pretty hip and cool and was told repeatedly, although they enjoy, it's really not. So that's why we've engaged some of our younger colleagues in working with them. But we empower our youth. So we have teens that, for example, we're going to be at Raritan Community Day this Saturday at Lenape Park. From 12 to 5, we'll have a booth there, and we have some of our youth coalition kids, young adults. I've been told they don't like to be called kids, so yes, our young adults, they'll be running our table there, and it's an interactive table where people can come over and win giveaways and prizes, and we have a spin the wheel that provides education, and it's for all ages, and I have to say we've been told we have some good prizes there.
I'm sure. Yeah. So Lenape Park is where exactly in Flemington?
It's in Raritan.
It's in Raritan.
Yeah, and it's Raritan Community Day.
Yeah, okay. That sounds great. Well, Leslie, I think we have to wrap it up. I really appreciate the work that you're doing, and there's so much, and there's so much more to do. I hope you'll come back again sometime.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it some more.
And the last thing I just want to shout out is that any family member that has anyone in their family that are in the throes of addiction and would like some support, we have a grant called the Family Support Center, and the Family Support Center coordinator is Rocky Schwartz, and you could contact our office to reach Rocky at 908-782-3909, and we have support groups that we run, and there are wonderful team there to really help connect loved ones and family members to services.
Great. All right. Thank you again, Leslie.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back next week.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Busy day for President Trump as he's in New York City attending the UN General Assembly meetings. The president says he's willing to help make a deal between India and Pakistan.
It will be dependent on both of these gentlemen. One without the other doesn't work if you're going to do mediation or if you're going to do an arbitration. But certainly I would be willing to help if both Pakistan, let's say, and India wanted me to do that.
The president does continue to field questions about a July phone conversation he had with the president of Ukraine at the UN. The president called it another Democratic witch hunt, adding, "Here we go again." The whistleblower who reported the phone call to the intelligence community did not even hear the actual